Shabbat Shalom. The parasha for this week is entitled Baha'alotecha, meaning when you raise up. And it covers Numbers chapters 8 through 12. It begins with God's command to consecrate B'nai Levi, the Levites, for the service of the tabernacle. You see, God chose the entire tribe of Levi to belong to him in place of all the firstborn of all of Israel. This unique honor was because Levi, was the only tribe to declare their loyalty to Adonai and Moses at the time of the golden calf incident, the disgraceful incident. In chapter 8, the Levites were actually presented as a living wave offering. Always been curious what that would look like, a living wave offering. And it's something I believe foreshadowed the new covenant admonition that we present our bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice. The parasha also reiterates God's command that Israel celebrate the Passover every year on its appointed day, 14 Nisan. Passover was never to be neglected. If someone was ritually unclean, perhaps due to the death of a friend or family member, or if a person was on a distant journey and would not be able to return to Jerusalem in time, they were permitted to celebrate Passover 1 month later on 14 Iyar. But if a man simply refused to celebrate Passover, he was to be cut off from Israel. One of the verses I so appreciate in this parasha is chapter 9, verse 14. And it says this, "You shall have one statute, both for the alien and for the native of the land." There were to be no double standards in Israel. This shouldn't surprise us, since the one who declared it would later say, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples." And Yeshua declared, "They," speaking of both Jews and Gentiles, "shall become one flock with one shepherd." In terms of Israel's relationship with Adonai, this parasha feels kind of like a roller coaster. On the one hand, our people obediently followed the Lord wherever he led us, you know, in a pillar of fire by night, in a pillar of cloud by day. Whenever the cloud was lifted, Israel packed up and set out. Wherever it settled, Israel settled, whether for days, weeks, or even a year at a time. But our people followed God. It calls to mind God's affection expressed by the prophet Jeremiah many years later, "Go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, I remember concerning you the devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothals, your following after me in the wilderness through a land not sown.'" Yet this parasha also records an awful lot of kvetching. Chapters 11 and 12 relate a series of one complaint after another. First, we complained about the lack of culinary variety. Too much manna, and no cucumbers, melons, leeks, or onions like we used to enjoy in Egypt. Next, Moses complains to God about having to deal with such disagreeable people. 400 years of brutal slavery, and we've been free, what, less than a year? And already we're being demanding and accusatory and unappreciative. And some might say, what is it with these people? What's the matter with them? Why don't they get this? What ingrates? Don't they appreciate that they're free? But a mature believer looks at this and says, wow, this hits just a little too close to home. It sounds a lot like yours truly. Look how much I have, and yet I often neglect to give thanks to God. You know, we fallen human beings are so prone to forget all that he's done for us. And left to ourselves, you'll have to admit this, left to ourselves, we tend to become more demanding and less thankful. Moses also kvetched because he seemed to get nothing but grief, rejection, and rebellion from the very people he was serving. God had Moses appoint 70 elders to whom he would then give a portion of his spirit in order to share the burden of the administration. The 70 were summoned outside the camp to meet with Moses and God. But two of them, Eldad and Medad, refused to come out. We're not told why, but they refused to come out. Yet the Holy Spirit came upon these two also, right in the middle of the camp, in the middle of approximately 2 million people. The Holy Spirit found these two who should have been out there, and they began prophesying. So much for the idea that the Holy Spirit is just a force, or merely an emanation. Random impersonal forces don't make precise personal distinctions like that. But when Joshua heard that Eldad and Medad were prophesying, he urged Moses to restrain them. You know, Joshua was always very loyal to Moses. But in this instance, his zeal was misplaced. And Moses chided him for it, saying, "Would that all God's people were prophets." You and I need to be careful about our loyalties. We need to be careful not to elevate other human beings, even those we respect, beyond what is appropriate. Moses was a great servant of God, unlike any other, but very definitely a fellow human being. And our first loyalty must always be to God and to Messiah Yeshua. This kind of immature jealousy and partisanship occurs elsewhere in scriptures, including 1 Corinthians. Remember that? "I'm of Paul." "Oh, yeah? Well, I'm of Apollos." "Oh, well, I'm of Cephas." And it isn't good. But whereas Joshua was jealous for Moses, Aaron and Miriam became jealous of Moses and began complaining about him. The catalyst seems to have been Moses' marrying a Cushite woman. Cush was the ancient name for Ethiopia. Yes, Moses married a black woman. And they had an attitude. And when you consider how much debate exists today in the Jewish community over the issue of intermarriage, this passage becomes all the more significant. Intermarriage, rightly defined, biblically defined, is when a believer marries an unbeliever, not when a person of one ethnicity marries a person of another ethnicity. It's very clear from Scripture that God detests bigotry. Aaron and Miriam learned this the hard way. God called them on the carpet, as it were, and struck Miriam with leprosy. She had to be confined outside the camp for 7 days. Now, by contrast, Yeshua willingly interacted with individuals and groups whom the Jewish religious establishment at that time wouldn't have given the time of day. I truly hope we will learn this lesson. Is it possible to be so near to the God of Israel and yet our hearts be so far from him? Frighteningly, yes, it is. And these historical books teach us the need to have Yirat Adonai, genuine, proper reverence for the Lord, the fear of the Lord. The key to this is to not forget what he's done for you. That's why Israel was given frequent reminders of the Exodus. We need to cultivate our own walk with the Lord and with Yeshua so that we don't forget the high cost he paid for our redemption, so that we don't forget and become ungrateful and resentful and complain. Just as we revisit these Torah passages through a yearly cycle, it would be a good idea to regularly be reading one or the other of the four Gospels so that we don't forget who Yeshua is and what he's done. And it will never be said of us, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." May God strengthen us to rekindle our first love for him.